Fondation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Foundation Radio.
Hello there. I am Mokon Johnny Nelson, welcoming you to this very special program on Foundation Radio. It is News Extra and it is weekly. We are broadcasting on FM 100 in Bamenda, chief town of the Northwest region of Cameroon. Exceptionally, today's program is going to be interactive. You can text us, text only please, and give us your opinion on the focus of the day. And our focus is on the Anglophone problem, even though some quarters are not comfortable with that appellation. You can text us on any of the following numbers: 672-533-990, 672-533-990, or 695-568-480, 695-568-480. Text only, please. It is a full house and an interesting panel that you shall be discovering shortly. So stay tuned. Thursday, December 8, 2016 is a day I would never have loved to live, but that I lived it has become a day that I will never live to forget. A courageous and determined people who rightly or wrongly stood for their rights, apparently against a soulless administration and a ruthless forces of law and order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and counting deaths, I cannot say, but deaths they were and many casualties too. Once more again, fortunately or unfortunately, it was Bamenda. Yes, Bamenda, this land of social justice and peace. Did I say peace? Yes, peace, for peace can only reign when social justice prevails. But because Bamenda feels this equity is absent, they, like biblical Jesus Christ, are ready to sacrifice for the sake of others. And at this Christmas season, when Christians await their Savior, we can only join them to say, come, Savior, come and save your people. They are crying, they are dying. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. Welcome back. I told you that we have an interesting panel. I can also add that they are very intelligent. And permit me to introduce first our lady, Chatu Pemia. She is of STV. Welcome, Chatu, and good day.
Thank you very much, Nelson, and good day to all the listeners of Foundation Radio.
We also have a senior citizen, Mr. Duga Charles. He is a writer, an author, and a trade unionist. Welcome, Mr. Duga Charles.
Thank you very much, Nelson. It's been quite a while. that I've been off the mic because I have so many pressing issues, let alone preoccupied by the impasse between the lawyers and the teachers on the one hand, and the government, soulless government, to use your phraseology in your editorial.
Thank God you are back and you have the microphone to air your opinion. And of course, we have our senior advisor at Foundation Radio, Christopher Fogwe. We call him Daddy Chris. Daddy Chris, always happy to be with you.
Always happy to be on the mic, especially on these days when there is so much to talk about. And I want to start by congratulating Setu Pedmia for the fantastically vivid images and reports.
Mr. Dugan Charles was saying that she can be likened to Christine
Amanpo.
Amanpo.
All right. Veteran war correspondent.
For the CNN.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, or Luzette, considering what she has been doing at the Syrian situation, where it is equally gory, if not more.
That's Lee Doucette.
Yes, yeah. Lee Doucette, yes, Lee on BBC, of course. Good. But Setu, I can tell you are fantastic.
Thank you.
And so it was Thursday in Bamenda. It turned out deadly. CPDM supporters, pro-government supporters, wanted to, counteract movements by proponents of the defense of Anglophone identity, the lawyers, the cultures, and some other quarters claim that Anglophones are not marginalized. And so on Thursday, it was a bloody clash in the city of Bamenda with at least 5 deaths and many, many casualties. Shatu Petmia, where were you on this fateful day?
Like I will recount every other time, I was between 8 and 10. I was in the office. From 10, I left to meet my boss at the grandstand because he had to collect images while I do the write-up.
Yeah, do the normal coverage.
Yes. When I got, I did not even get to the grandstand. I got around Congress Hall and one of the policemen asked me, "Hey, Twala, chupa o." So I was wondering whether I'm not a citizen to move in Cameroon. I said, I don't even understand what you're saying.
And we're going to a public event.
And I was going to a public event. So I did not understand what I told him that I don't even understand the language in which you're talking. Then he said something in English now. I said, okay, I'm going to the grandstand. He led me. So there was one time I realized that they don't even want to know whether you're a journalist or not.
Exactly.
They were ready to brutalize you. Yeah. So I struggled and paved my way through, right through to Our and Sons. That was where I was positioned. I was positioned in such a way that even behind me, I could see what was going on. But like I can tell you, I saw people dying like fowls. I saw blood. And I can still say it that it's not an event where a toddler should witness.
Painful indeed. Let me turn to Mr. Duga Charles. I don't want to say it was a bloody Thursday. I don't want to say it was a victory Thursday. But where were you on that day?
Precisely on that Thursday, I was in town in front of the Medino building where Awa and Sons formerly operated. It is undergoing renovation.
Yep.
I had just arrived town. I trekked past the grandstand from the T junction. I wanted to get to around Oil Libya, the old Treasury Street. As I was footing, approaching the grandstand, I saw that taxis and bikes were riding past unperturbed or uninterrupted.
Yes, because the early morning of the day,
yes,
the town was unperturbed.
Yes. I cast my eyes around. I first cast my eyes on the grandstand. I saw that chairs were well arranged. I saw the ribbons carrying the Cameroon flag.
And messages.
And then I looked to my right. I saw the military corps. I looked at those guys closely as I was passing, but at the edge of my right eye, I was casting my eyes to see whether I could identify one or two persons in the military corps. And behold, I could not. And behold, I saw soldiers who were masked.
Soldiers?
Only your only the eyes could be seen.
Soldiers who came for a party event, it was as if it was a national event, it was as if it was May 20th, where we have to pay honor to our army.
Yes, you can describe it that way. You can even say it again. And I thought that when I saw such guys, those are images I used to see on TV, on cable network, as guys who kidnap to kill for ransom. Who kidnap for ransom, and if the ransom is not forthcoming, they kill. So when I saw that
scenario,
when I see that scenario, I started, my mind started working, my mind started crisscrossing. If this is a civil activity, a civil occasion, why should we have guys who should disguise and in uniform?
Not even a state occasion, a political party occasion.
Good, a political party occasion, so to speak. Then my mind started troubling me. Even though I filed past, I got to that Oil Libya Junction, got to Awa and Son's building. The crowd of youth had mobilized. The Benzikin guys had parked their vehicles somewhere along the both sides of the boulevard. So I fitted myself within the rank and then climbed on the other pavement, the elevated pavement, to try to pick some pictures. Then the police guys started firing the tear gas towards the direction of the youth, because the youths now were trying to move closer.
Anyway, the aim of the youths was to stop the rally. We'll come into that.
Yes.
Now, let us turn over to
Daddy Chris.
Yeah.
Thursday, December 8, 2016.
Well, you know, the world has become a global village. And I sit right home, but my eyes are in Douala, because we have enough independent and truthful reporters who give you the images instantly as they are happening, such as the one that we got from STV, where I was very happy to hear Shetu's voice, considering that she has been one of us here at Foundation Radio. Yeah. And I heard and saw gory pictures. And I told myself, what in the world is actually happening? What were the objectives of this battalion of people coming in from Yaoundé for a political rally? And yet we have more soldiers around than the people who are coming to rally. And I also saw pictures of the youngsters who were standing as if they were ready to ensure that this did not happen. So I asked one of the youngsters that came and stood in front of my house to find out what was happening in town. Then he told me that the youths were there, like Davids, with their slings and stones. I said, why? He said, well, if you were in Palestine and the Israelis were coming to town, will you sit down there and fold your arms, knowing fully well that they have no intentions that could be good for you? So they said they were ready, and they were ready to confront Goliath with their slings.
And Goliath, they confronted, and since their objective was to ensure that the rally did not hold, come sun or come rain, come shine, they should say that they won.
We can say that again. And if we can go any further, we can say probably God was on their side.
That decrease for me, I want to say that I was at the front. I think Shatu was on the other end, and we're simply communicating to ensure that we're all safe. And I think it was an experience to experience, but not wishing to leave that again, especially for others, because it was a situation of life or death. Now, let me, before we take the first paper in this edition of the program, News Extra, I want to ask, do you think that, Shatu, what happened could have been avoided, even though the so-called militants of the organizers of the rally were in town? Do you think that the bloodbath that ensued after those skirmishes could have been avoided at a certain point?
Yeah, I want to think so. But first, how do you get down to somebody you've annoyed? and you think that you can demand a favor from without how do I put it, without addressing the worry of that person first. So at some point in time, as I see it as provocation.
Good.
They coming to match, it's some sort of provocation. And if they saw that it wasn't going to happen, it was easier for them to retire, because I discovered that at one moment when the thing wasn't going to happen, the military now started opening fire even at youths who were not doing anything. So I want to think that they can avoid it. This is not where Boko Haram is. I don't think that Boko Haram is in Bamenda. There are a lot of things that the military should be fighting and not fighting civilians. Now I look at a policeman as somebody who is out for insecurity and not even security. Because I'm no longer secured even around a policeman. Now you see around town, they are everywhere. When they are out now and they don't see any trouble, because the aim of the youth was that they don't want that march pass. The march pass did not hold. What are they doing outside again? The police are there at every point. The guys have retired. They are at their business places now. Activities are very normal. I'm coming from town. Activities are booming in town. So I don't know what they are out there doing until they have to import. Let me say import, because they were imported overnight.
Yeah.
Is Bamenda a war zone? It is not. So they could avoid it. Stay, if you know that they have held you hostage at your hotels, stay there and ask, withdraw your forces of law and order. Let there be peace in town. The boys don't want the match because they are tired of everything that they have gone through. If you see boys ready to die, I stood where boys were ready to die. They said they are not shaking with their stones in their hands, catapults in their hands, ready for death.
What is for sure is that at one moment the security forces were overcome.
Yes, that is it. So I give it a 1-0. That's okay. It. I give it.
Daddy Chris, you see in this the intransigence of a government or of a people? Because was it not better for the population to stay calm, boycott the event, given that the other side was insisting to hold the event and the other side was saying that it should not hold? What position would you have adapted or advised to be taken?
Just give me the opportunity to take the word intransigence that you just used.
Good.
And when we take that word into account, we realize that this is not a today issue. We're talking about more than 55 years ago that these issues had been raised. First, they had been discussed in Fumban, and the agreements that came out of that, even though they were brief, or rather they were hurriedly put together, were supposed to guarantee that there were two brotherly partners getting together to live together, but each respecting the other and each treating the other with respect as equals. And the Constitution was expected to guarantee that.
And many other agreements and discussions have been taking place over 55 years.
So we have been happening every year. They have been reminded that things are not happening the way they were supposed to. Things were not happening the way they were supposed to. But they keep coming up with this thing about united and indivisible, which was a word that was contested in Fumban. And Funcha insisted, according to Anthony Ndii's book, that word should not be used again until we have realized whether we are compatible partners or not before they can include it. But if we are not, then that word should never even get into the agreement.
Okay, now let me turn over to Duga Charles. It started with the lawyers and then the teachers. Do you think that if the lawyers' plight were addressed earlier enough, it's true the teachers have been fighting for long, and that of the teachers also address Thursday's events or recent events would have been avoided?
Before I answer that question, let me go back to the position Shatu addressed herself to, that the Thursday, the Black Thursday, could have been avoided. I would beg to differ in the sense that it couldn't have been avoided, because it was well pre-planned and orchestrated from a high command post, because of the index reference from Boya, which was not a comfortable image. that CPDM would like to write home about. So now that they were coming to the second in command in the political hierarchy of this country, that is the hardcore opposition of the SDF, the political fief of the SDF, definitely they knew that SDF would not countenance that. So that is why they came with the military. It was just a normal civil occasion. Why would they bring in soldiers? Soldiers are trained to shoot and kill. They are not trained in peacekeeping. They are not trained in civil order maintenance. So when you see such people in broad daylight, just know that the dark clouds are really heavy. Now, the question of
that the plight of the lawyers were not addressed, and then the teachers, it was all this build up that led to what we had on.
Yes, just as I have written and commented elsewhere on other social media and DEFCAM press and associates, I have always insisted and maintained this position that if the lawyers and the teachers were dealing with a reciprocal gentleman, or we're dealing with a respectable core that is interested in dialogue, this matter would not have escalated to the extent to which we are now dealing with casualties. Because what is the first point on the lawyer's memo? A return to the two-state federation that brought us together. How did we come together in 1961?
Okay, before we continue, just to remind listeners that the program is News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are receiving text messages only. We just had a message that lines are not going through. Yes, it's a general problem. So you cannot call us. Send us your text messages, and we shall read the numbers 672-53-3990 or 695-56-8480. Now, before we take the first paper, I will ask this question to...
I have not landed.
Okay, land.
Yes, so I, in my humble opinion, I think that if the powers that be or the government in place were interested in dialogue and they had to look into this first point of the lawyers, not the first point of the teachers, because I believe that the first point of the lawyer was a return to the two-state federation that brought us together in 1961 up to 1972. That was abrogated through a controversial, if I would say, a fake referendum.
Yeah, Mr. Duga, yeah. We had a history.
If that issue...
There are others who are calling for a 10-state federation. There are others who are calling for...
SDF calls for four-state federation.
The even came up with the Ohada text first. Yeah.
But what
they're saying that they have translated the Ohada text. But the other day on CRTV during on Hello Cameroon, I didn't get his name quite well. He said that he didn't ask for the Ohada text to be translated. He asked for the revised version of the Ohada text, and there are about 8 of them, and it has not been done. So they should not say that they have addressed the problems of the lawyers.
Let me just give this one point. This is a conclude. They say that if the issue of the two-state federation as contained in the lawyers' memo was handled, all the other issues, including education, economics, and others, can be treated at ad hoc committee levels appointed to handle this component in education, this component in economics, this component in the Ohada, this component, and so on and so forth.
Okay,
but the government prefer to...
We shall be coming to that. Maybe we'll take this text message that is coming from... Chair, he say he is from Mulang. He's saying that we lack a president. And President Biya is the president for Francophone, and so he's not the president. Mm-hmm. That is Chef from Mulang. You text us, you give us your where you are texting us from. Now,
but I don't know why
that increase. There are many things. Let me one last round before we go. Now, short answers. Seto, is federation equal to secession?
I don't think so. you asked me why I don't think so now.
Yes.
Federation, what do we mean first by federation? Decentralization of power. When we start talking of secession now, it means that we cut off completely. That's outright independence, if I understand it well. But I want to think that if we take federation, if we decentralize this power right down to its base, that means the prime minister's office has a delegation here. We'll not need to keep sending these things right to Yaoundé. Yes, because when he came here, see what he had to do. He had to leave Yaoundé to come here and tell the teachers to go to class, that the government was going to look about it. And the teacher said, no, until these things are done. If we had that decentralization of power, they would have treated it here first, and he is just coming to tell us that we are solving that thing.
Okay,
this is the solution.
Okay, now, shall we talk of decentralization? There are some persons who are not very comfortable with the semantics of words. Some persons are not comfortable with the word federation. The system that has been adopted by Cameroon is that of decentralization. Do you think that if the aspects, as mentioned by Satu, are imbibed in a decentralized, effective decentralized structure, even if the name federation is not used, we'll have any problem that decrease?
The fact of the matter is that even if we were to talk about secession, it is an impossibility in the global village. Because see what happened to Britain. They came out of the European Union, but they realized that the European Union needs them, and they need the European Union. There is no way you can separate from your neighbor. There's no way you can secede in that sense in which these people look at things in negative terms. If you can live as comfortable neighbors and transact with each other in a respectful manner and maintain a degree of harmony that allows you to interact, so much the better. But to have somebody pressed under your armpit and asked to shut up and not listen to what they want to say and expect them not to react in a way as to say, please, let me loose, allow me to be free, is unrealistic. So whatever the semantics, we believe that decentralization is a way of proceeding in order to get to a point where you can have a degree of equilibrium about how to live with each other in a manner that is peaceful and justifiable under the terms of good governance.
Now, in conclusion, Duga Charles, do you think that if Cameroon was governed in such a way that every other Cameroonian feels Cameroonian, there would have been any problem? Be it Anglophone, Bamiliki, Northern, or what in this country?
I like your hypothetical question, because if, when we're dealing with if questions, we are in fact trying to hypothesize, because the reality is yet to come. I don't even know why we should be toying with the idea or with the word secession. Now, why is secession an offensive term when we cannot look back in retrospect to 1984? Who first seceded from the Union? Who first seceded? Who first divorced the other?
Well, those are political terms, as I say. Those are political terms.
Yeah, they're political, but we should situate them either in the typical conventional diction, or we are using them in quotes. So if we are talking of secession, we think that the British Cameroonians have a right to formally ratify the secession, because La République first seceded in 1984 by abolishing the United Republic of Cameroon to just simply La République or Republic of Cameroon.
Okay, let us take some text messages coming in. This one is from Julius from Gonwam. He is saying that we want liberalism because we have suffered for long. Another text coming from... hello to you in the studio. Mr. Chris pointed a good point in Dr. D. Anthony's book, How Does One Become Independent? By joining someone. Is it not time for the UN to do what it left undone by granting the independence of Southern Cameroon? That is Dennis. Dennis wants to know where you are texting from. Okay, let's proceed. You are listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio, FM 100. We are Mokonjoni Nelson anchoring, Chateau Pedmia, journalist STV, Christopher Fogwe, Senior Advisor, Foundation Radio, and Duga Charo, Senior Citizen, Author, and Trade Unionist. Now, recent events in the English-speaking Northwest and Southwest regions of Cameroon and the attitude of the administration has made it easy to understand why many Cameroonians, including the late Dr. John Gu Foncha, believe that what takes place in Anglophone Cameroon does not matter to the authorities of this country. John Gu Foncha, before his demise, that is his death, raised a number of worries in a letter to President Paul Biya. Unfortunately, they may not have been addressed and may have been shelved somewhere, and the issues raised are still very much present in today's Cameroon that may apparently be gliding towards a precipice. Christopher Fogwe reports.
2016 is proving to be a turning point in the history of Cameroon, a nation contrived out of an uneasy union of two former trust territories, one British and the other French. At the Fumban Conference, where the ill-conceived deal was hurriedly struck, the malicious intrigues of the crooked French and the vindictive aloofness of the British ensured that someday the agreement would collapse. Due to bad faith and irreconcilable complications, Dr. John Gu Foncha, the Martin Luther King of the former British Cameroon, led his affiliates to Fumban, expecting to strike a brotherly and mutually beneficial deal to coexist as one nation in which the best practices and values of the two political entities would be capitalized upon for the common good. Ahidjo, on the other hand, was a wily power monger who was more interested to beef up his personal power and collaborate with France to assimilate extra territory. Their interests were predatory, and Foncha and his contingent were mere potential victims of their exploits. Foncha was trusting and even risked his life by going from village to village in the then East Cameroon to pacify the Makisa terrorist wars that were raging there at the time. Foncha was a true gentleman who thought that he was entering into a gentlemanly agreement with fellow gentlemen. But alas, he soon found out that he had been dealing with wolves in sheep's clothing, wolves that had no culture of human rights, who hardly said what they meant, nor meant what they said, who swore that administration is documented, but hardly ever implemented what they documented, not even what is enshrined in the Constitution. Who can blame Dr. John Gu Foncha for the resignation letter he wrote to President Paul Biya, from which Ranibel Satowara now quotes the following excerpts?
I have the honor to inform Your Excellency that after careful consideration and careful thought, I have decided to address to you my resignation from the Cameroon's People's Democratic Movement, CPDM, and my reasons for resigning are as follows. Demands by me for audience with the chairman, president of the party, to discuss issues have been systematically turned down. Several memos and representations I have made in writing on several important national issues have been ignored. The Anglophone Cameroonian whom I brought into the union have been ridiculed and referred to as les Biafrans, les ennemis dans la maison, les traîtres, etc., and the constitutional provisions which protected this Anglophone minority have been suppressed, their voices drowned while the rule of the gun has replaced the dialogue which Anglophones cherish very much. The national media